Father, please tonight, we love you to make clear to us your love, your unending love that you have shown to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. I suspect that, like me, a couple of months ago, you got one of these in your mailbox. Extreme water restrictions for Bathurst. A list of things that we should be doing, how we look after our gardens, when we're allowed to wash our cars. Bathurst Regional Council even wants to have a bit of a say in how we take our showers. Of course, it's all for good reason though, isn't it? Because we're in the middle of a drought. So council has been very keen to keep us informed. There's some things that they want us to know. Chifley Dam is at less than 50%. I think in summer, Bathurst uses about 35 megalitres a day of water as a town, as a city. Unless something changes, Chifley Dam is going to be empty by the 17th of July next year. That would be terrible. So, there's been ads on the radio, on social media, of course we've had these flyers in our letterboxes, because Bathurst Council wants what we know to change how we live. That's exactly what's going on in this letter written by Paul to his friend Titus. Because Paul wants what we know to change how we live. And Paul particularly wants what we know about Jesus to change how we live. So this letter that we just started tonight, this letter is an encouragement to us. It's an encouragement to us to change and to be changed by the wonderful truth of Jesus. And that's what Paul tells us straight up in his introduction that TJ just read. In the first four verses we're going to look at tonight, Paul takes a moment to outline for us the central idea of the letter. He also outlines for us the context of the letter, the content of the letter, and the characters of the letter. Now, each of these ideas and each of these verses here will later be filled out and expanded on as we read through the following three chapters. That's for later. Today, it's an introduction. So let's take a look and let's start with that central idea. And we're up to point one on your outline there if you're following along. And this is the very first thing that Paul tells his friend Titus. He tells him that this letter is all about one central idea, and that central idea is that knowing the truth leads to living in godliness. Knowing the truth leads to living in godliness. Just like knowing that we're running out of water leads us to take shorter showers, knowing the truth of Jesus leads us to live life for Jesus. And that is what Titus is all about. And as we read through this letter, we're going to see that Paul takes note of some extraordinary truths about God. And as he does, his point is that when you know these truths, then it changes how you live. It's the central idea, and Paul tells us straight up. So have a look with me, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, that leads to godliness. Paul says that he's writing this letter for the sake of God's people, and he's writing for the sake of their knowledge of the truth, because he wants, knowing that truth, to lead them to lives of godliness. Now, Paul was a guy who loved telling people about Jesus, and Paul was a guy who loved seeing other people like Titus telling people about Jesus. But it was never enough for Paul if people heard about Jesus, if they knew about Jesus, but then they did nothing about it. Always, Paul's goal wasn't just people knowing Jesus, but people living for Jesus. It was all about people being changed by Jesus. Their lives changed, their habits changed, their thinking changed, their relationships changed, their whole lives aligned with the truth of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, that just makes sense, I think, because knowing truth changes things in so many different parts of life. I mean, knowing that sunburn increases your risk of skin cancer should make you wear a hat and sunscreen, shouldn't it? Knowing you've got an important test coming up tomorrow morning should make you get plenty of sleep tonight. Knowing you've got guests coming over for dinner makes you tidy up the house a bit. Knowing things changes what we do. Knowing the truth of the gospel changes our lives in much more dramatic ways. Knowing Jesus and living for Jesus, Paul says they are not two separate things. Paul, he wants faith that bears fruit in godly living. He doesn't just want converts to Christianity, he wants disciples of Jesus. He wants active followers of Jesus. And isn't that exactly what we want here at Night Church? That's exactly why we've been doing these growth challenges this year. Because yes, we want to grow in our knowledge of the truth, but as that happens, we also want to grow in our godliness. Let me encourage you again to keep these growth challenges on the agenda. I really hope that they've been helpful for you this year as you seek to live in light of the truth of Jesus. There's still copies of these out in the foyer if you don't happen to have one yet. Keep on using these to prayerfully and thoughtfully come up with real and specific ways that you can be changed by the truth. This year, for example, you might have been planning to, you might have been dealing with a particular sin in your life that you know is disobeying Jesus. Maybe this year you've been replacing greed with some self-control and generosity. Maybe you've been replacing your anger with some self-control and graciousness. Maybe this year you've been working really hard to be more gentle, more thoughtful, more willing to encourage, more willing to build others up, even here at church on a Sunday night. Let me encourage you to keep these growth challenges on the agenda. Because there's all kinds of ways that we can be growing in our godliness. We're really only limited by our imagination. But we do want to make sure that we are growing. Because if we know Jesus, and yet we don't live for Jesus, that, Paul says, well, that's a problem. And this letter, Titus, this is an encouragement for us to change. It's an encouragement for us to be changed by the wonderful truth of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Paul says that is faith. Faith is a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. And that's the central idea of this little letter. Now let's take a look at the context. Paul is writing to Titus, and Titus is actually a pastor. He's the pastor of a church on a little island called Crete. Now there's all kinds of interesting things about Crete and Cretan people that we're going to find out about next week. But here in the introduction, Paul actually sort of steps back a little bit from that context. He steps back to the bigger context. He steps back and looks at the bigger context of God's eternal plans. So have a look with me at verse 2. But verse 2 actually starts halfway through a sentence. So I'm actually going to start reading from verse 1 again. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the beginning of time. Do you see the context? Our faith sits in the context of eternity. It sits in the context of the hope of eternal life in the future, which God promised before the beginning of time. This is actually quite similar to what Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, which we read back in turn 2. Remember how Ephesians started? It was quite grand. Ephesians, Paul there reminds us of how before the creation of the world, God loved us. Before the creation of the world, God chose us. He chose us to be holy. He chose us to be blameless. He chose to adopt us into his family. It's pretty wonderful, and he did it just because he wanted to. He did it out of his generosity, out of his grace. Not because of our goodness, but because of his love. Here in Titus, Paul says, from eternity past to eternity future, God's plan is to save people through Christ Jesus. Save people, to bring hope where there was hopelessness, to bring life where we only deserve death. His plan is to redeem us, to pay the price of our sin, and not only to pay the price of our sin, but to deal with our sin. He's defeated sin. He's taken care of it, taken it away as far as the east is from the west. He has removed it, and sin no longer has power over us. God's plan is to make us new people. God's plan is that he will generously share with his people the eternal glory of his son Jesus. That's what God, who never lies, has promised to us. It's amazing. It's a staggering truth. Why has God done all of that for us? Did he do it so that we can turn around and say, oh, well, that's kind of nice, but it doesn't really change anything about the way I live? No way. Can we know this truth and not be changed by it? Not a chance. We live in Baptist in the context of a drought. But as Christians, we live in the context of God's eternal, cosmic plans of love and forgiveness through Christ. What a wonderful truth to know. What a wonderful thing to be included in. And what a joy to live for Jesus because of it. What a joy to live in godliness because of what God has done in making us his people, his new creations. This is a wonderful truth. And it is a truth that God has made known to us, and he's made it known to us through his word. And that's the content of this letter. The truth that leads to godliness is found in the content of the gospel. And that's what Paul says in verse 3. Take a look, verse 3. God's eternal plans in Christ, they are underway. And verse 3, at his, that is at God's appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. The wonderful truth of God's plans in Christ, that truth that leads to godliness, this, Paul says, this is where we find it. We find it in the preaching entrusted to Paul by God. That is, we find it in God's words. We find it in the gospel message. As we speak the gospel to each other, the truth of Jesus appears. In a very real sense, as the gospel is spoken and heard, we lead one another into godliness. It's a bit like a cold winter morning. Now, unless you're visiting Bathurst tonight from somewhere far away, then you're going to not find this very hard to imagine. A cold Bathurst winter morning, you talk, and what happens? Your breath sort of hangs in front of you in a cloud, doesn't it? Hangs in the air, visible. When we read the truth of the gospel in the Bible, when we hear the gospel truths spoken, Jesus becomes visible. God's plans in Christ are brought to light, Paul says. We speak the gospel to each other, and we see the salvation and the transformation that are ours in Christ. This is the truth that changes lives. This is the truth that leads us to godliness. And we see it in the gospel words. Now, we don't want to neglect this truth. We don't ever want to forget just how essential it is to keep on speaking these gospel truths and listening to this truth. This is the truth that we love. This is the truth that we value immensely. This is the gospel that we immerse ourselves in because it is so precious. This is the truth of God, remember, who never lies. That means that even that we guard ourselves against twisted or untrue versions of it. And we guard each other against drifting away from it. Because these are words that lead to lives lived for Jesus. And here in Titus, Paul shares the truth of the gospel that was entrusted to him. He shares it with us. Which brings us nicely to the characters of this letter. Because Paul is not only sharing it with us, in the first place, he's writing to Titus. Now, Paul, as a character who we met back in verse 1, he's the author of the letter, and he calls himself in verse 1 a servant of Jesus and an apostle of Jesus. He's saying that he is someone who has been sent by Jesus to do a job. And he's writing to his friend Titus, and he calls Titus his son in the faith. Take a look at verse 4. Paul writes, "To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour." Now, Paul and Titus aren't biologically related, not biologically father and son, but they are father and son in the faith. And that's because Paul has passed down his faith to Titus like a father to a son. He's worked with Titus, he's shown Titus what it means to know the truth and what it means to live according to the truth. And Paul writes this letter, and we're going to see this as we read it through. He writes because he wants Titus to be effective in passing it on to the next generation. In fact, Paul wants the whole church that Titus was part of to be really, really good at speaking the truth of Jesus to each other so as to lead one another into godliness. Paul really just wants to see generations and generations of people living all of life for Jesus. And look, by God's kindness, the truth of Jesus has filtered down through generations and generations, and it has spread across the world, and it's even arrived here with us in Bathurst. And just like it did for Titus and his church on the island of Crete, knowing the truth of Jesus leads us to godly living. And we share with Titus that very same grace and peace that Paul was talking about, the grace and peace that comes from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. So I wonder, what difference has knowing the truth made to your life this week? I mean, has knowing the truth made any difference at all to your life this week? Or would your life have looked exactly the same even if you didn't know the truth of the gospel? Is knowing that Jesus is victorious over death, is knowing that Jesus' death is the only way to be saved, is that actually making you trust him? Is it making you ask him for forgiveness? Has knowing that Jesus, as a generous gift, gave his life to save you, has that made you more generous for the sake of others? Does knowing that Jesus loved you, even though you didn't deserve it, does knowing that encourage you to go out of your way to love those who are hard to love here at Night Church? Does knowing that we are reconciled to God through Christ, and just knowing that all things, in fact, are being brought together in Christ, does knowing that drive you to invite more and more people to discover Jesus? Has knowing that Jesus is King changed the way you work or the way you study? Has it made you more honest or more gentle and more forgiving? Has knowing Jesus has redeemed you from sin, has that pushed you to take seriously the sinful addictions that you might have in your life? Addictions to maybe money or popularity or pornography? Is having Jesus' spirit live in you, is that making you less angry? Is it making you less irritable, less frustrated, less likely to lash out? Is the truth of the gospel leading you to godly living? We are people who immerse ourselves in the truths of Jesus, the wonderful truths of Jesus, so as to live increasingly godly lives. Cast your minds back a bit. Do you remember the people in Haggai's time? We just finished reading Haggai last week. Do you remember how Ed clearly showed us that Haggai is all about motivating us to active obedience? Motivating us to active obedience. And yet God's people back in Haggai's day, they had so much trouble obeying God, didn't they? It was so hard for them. The one thing that did motivate them to live in obedience to God was when God said those simple words through Haggai. He said, "I am with you." That was what motivated them to obey God. Friends, we've got it so much better than the people in Haggai's day because God in the flesh, Jesus has come. He has walked on earth and we encounter Jesus in the truth of the gospel. We encounter Jesus as the gospel is read, as it's preached, as it's spoken. And as we encounter Jesus, we are motivated to live for him. That's Paul's introduction to this letter of Titus. When I was at university, one of the quirks of where I studied was that they They made us write a kind of a second introduction on all of our essays. They call it a synopsis page. Every essay had to have one. It was a kind of a summary of the entire essay, but just condensed into one page, stuck on the front. It kind of annoyed me. My suspicion was that it was for lecturers who would rather read 500 words than actually sit down and read the 5,000 word essay that came afterwards. I don't know, I might be wrong about that. I guess it could have been for the students, you know. If you've written two introductions and then an entire essay and you're still not clear, you probably don't deserve to pass, right? Look, here in these first four verses of Titus, we've got a nice and short, but more importantly, a very clear summary of what this letter is about. Titus is about how knowing the truth leads to living in godliness. So this next few weeks, I hope, as we read through the letter, will be an encouragement to us to change and to be changed by the wonderful truth of Jesus. This is what we want. We want it for ourselves and we want it for each other here as a church family. We want to grow in our godliness. And we want to grow in our godliness through taking every opportunity to speak and to hear and to prioritise the truth of Jesus. So look, can I wrap up by just giving you a small challenge? I think it's an easy one. Can I give you the challenge over the next 3 weeks as we read through Titus? Can I give you the challenge of just praying for someone that they would grow in their godliness? Maybe that's something that you could be praying for your small group. Maybe that's something you could pray for a close friend of yours or your family. But can I encourage you to pray every day? And pray specifically when you pray. Pray specifically for someone that they would know the truth of Jesus more and more. And that through knowing Jesus more and more, their lives would be transformed. That they would be godly. That more and more they would live their life for Jesus. Can you pray that? And as you pray that for someone else, pray it for yourself too. It's not hard, I don't think, but what a wonderful thing to be doing. What a wonderful way to pray for our church family. Particularly as we spend these next few weeks reading through this short letter of Titus. How about we pray that for ourselves now? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this letter. Thank you for the wonder of the gospel, the incredible, the extraordinary grace and love that you've extended to us. The way you've made us through Jesus, you've made us to a dearly loved church. Father, we would love to grow, we would love to flourish in godliness together as we stand firm in your truth. So, Father, please may the gospel of Christ be at the very centre of everything we do and say. Father, we pray this confidently because we do know your Son, Jesus, through your word. Amen.